Well, Father, I truly do thank you for the joy and the laughter, because that's what you want us to do. And Father, you are the true King and the true Lord. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung on that cross because you all loved us so desperately. Father God, we are making a covenant with you tonight that we're going to love as you loved. And we're going to draw many into the kingdom through that love. And Father God, if they don't accept the love, we're not going to be concerned about that. We're just going to do our part, and that is spread the love of Jesus Christ throughout this land. Tonight, Father, I'm asking you to be with this teaching. I'm asking you to move among your people and let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I say we're not going to have any prophetic word, but then God starts moving. So, you know, it's his show, not mine. And because he says, I just want my people to bask in what I've told them. So now I think that means no prophetic word, you know, and then here he goes. I said, God, yeah, I just said to none. But he starts. So whatever he wants to do, we'll do. All right. You know, so don't pay no attention to me. If I say no prophetic word, you say, God, you can change things, right? All right. I've entitled this Heavenly Warfare. I want us to read Daniel, because this is talking about the angels, and we need to understand the angels, and we need to start using them. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 10 said, suddenly, this is Daniel speaking, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. O Daniel, what? Man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was, you know, this was an angel talking to Daniel. He said, I have been sent to you. Who sent him? God. And so God's going to be doing the very same thing to us. He's going to be sending angels to us to speak to us, just like Daniel here. So he said, the angel said, I have been sent to you. Well, and Daniel said, while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, see that from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, see what he had to do? He had to humble himself, then wanted to understand God. Your words were heard. So you're going to have to have those two ingredients if you want God to hear you. And the angel goes on to say, and I have come because of your words. See, God sent the angel because of what Daniel was praying. The angel said, but the prince of Persia has been fighting against me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the most important princes, came to help me because I was stuck there with the king of Persia. Now, let me go back here where it says, but the angel said, but the prince of Persia has been fighting against me. Now, the prince of Persia is a demonic entity, a very powerful one. And he was fighting with this angel, all right? Has been fighting against me for 21 days. So Daniel was praying. He didn't get his answer the first day. He didn't get it the second day. He kept on praying until 21 days had gone by. And he didn't say, well, God doesn't want to do this. God isn't listening. He kept believing and praying. Then the angel said, then Michael, one of the most important princes, so that's a godly prince, angel, one of the most important princes, so he was an important one, came to help me because I was stuck there with the king of Persia. Now I'm going to explain a little bit more about Michael to you in a second. So he says, now I have come to you, Daniel, to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. So what did God say that the angels were going to do this morning? Come and tell us what was going to be going on in the future, right? So he says, now I have come to you, Daniel, to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. The vision is about a time in the future. The one who looked like a... No, so that's what the angel said. This vision I'm going to give you is going to happen in future. It's not going to happen right now. And I am believing when God sends an angel to speak to us, he's going to tell us whether it's a right now thing or in a future thing. All right? The one who looked like a man, and this is Daniel speaking again, the one who looked like a man touched me again. And so the one who looked like a man was the angel. And what did he look like? A man. When he touched me, I felt better. Then he said, Daniel, don't be afraid. God loves you very much. Peace be with you. What did the angel bring? Peace. Then he said, be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, Daniel said, I became stronger. Then I said, and this is Daniel speaking. Then I said, sir, you have given me strength. Now you can speak. So then the angel said to Daniel, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I must go back to fight against the prince of Persia. So the prince of Persia is one of Satan's ruling demons. When I go, the prince of Greece will come. So this is another demonic demon that's going to come and take the place of the prince of Persia and fight him. But Daniel, before I go, I must first tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one stands with me except those evil angels. I'm sorry. No one stands with me against those evil angels except Michael, the prince over your people. Michael is a prince over Israel. So Michael was the only one that stood with this angel to help him fight the demons of Persia and Greece, wasn't it? Now, this guy Nathan Jones said this, surely dark demonic entities wield power over the United States. I am not saying that the United States remains directly under Satan's hold, but I am saying that Satan has assigned many demons who never cease in attempting to overthrow the righteous in the United States and around the world and are succeeding mightily right now. He said, sure thing. Demonic activity has been the most intense and in your face than ever before. That's a yes and an amen. And if you don't believe that you're fighting demonic entities, then you have a problem. And they're going to do to you what they have planned to do, and that is to destroy you. Now, the guy by the name of Vic Batista said, Daniel 10 may reveal details about angelic warfare, but we can glean hope in that God intervenes, just like he did for Daniel. God intercedes in the affairs of man, often with his mighty angels. So you see that? God's been telling us, I'm going to send my angelic host to fight your battles for you. Now, Daniel 10 should have convinced the reader that a spiritual battle wages all around us right now for our very souls. But today, God gives each of us the opportunity to come and know him personally. God's been doing it. He's been calling on us, come and know me intimately. Come and dine with me constantly. And he wanted us to do that and still wants us to do that because he knows of the demonic realm that's over us, that is fighting us and trying to destroy us. All right? Now, the angel Gabriel in Daniel 10:13 explains how he battled Satan's prince of Persia for 21 days. That is until God reinforces the encounter with Michael. Satan fires his biggest guns against Israel, but God has assigned his most powerful angel, which is Michael, to serve as a protecting angel over Israel. Michael remains to this day the chief protector of Israel. Now, I'm going to stop there because when I was first born again, I went into my prayer room and God said, open your eyes. And I saw this great, big, huge, you look like a Roman soldier. And I said, God, who is that? And he said, that's your personal angel. And he said, his name is Michael. And see, I didn't know anything about this at that time. So I got excited as I was studying this. So then one of God's most important angels is my protector. So what do I have to fear? Are you listening here? What do you have to fear? And he's a protector over Israel. If you read about Israel, it doesn't matter what anybody tries to do to Israel, God reverses it. And I was reading where this man, they went out to battle, and I forgot how many men they were fighting. One man fought 100 other men, and he won the battle. And like this man that wrote it said, there's no way this one man could kill those 100 men. It had to be God's angelic forces intervening in killing them. And this is what God wants us to know tonight. We are in a battle, but the battle's not ours. It's God's. And as we go into warfare in prayer and pray to God and talk to God, it's that point that God will send the angels that you need to come and fight that battle for you. Michael is no ordinary angel. Michael serves as the archangel. He's the top angel. He ranks as a 4-star general. God sends his 4-star general to come down and help Gabriel fight the prince of Persia. So it was Gabriel, you know, who was fighting the prince of Persia. So whoever this prince of Persia, this demonic entity, is, he stands out as one of the most powerful in Satan's army because God has to send in the big gun to defeat him. Remember, I told you this story one time. God said, you know, I was in terrible warfare. And I said, God, why is this warfare so intense? He said, because Satan has sent all his pinions to you and they couldn't defeat you. So Satan himself has now come down to try to destroy you. And at that point, I had 3 encounters face to face with Satan, but he couldn't win. So I'm telling you guys, this is no picnic. And this isn't just a fake story. It is true. God does have angels that he places guard over you, and he does protect you, and he will not allow the enemy to destroy you. You have to start believing. We should have been believing. Well, we have, but the church should have been believing in the angels from day one. But this is a period, and this is a time when God is bringing the angels to the forefront because of this fierce battle that we're going to be going into. Wouldn't it be wonderful if one time when Grace and Barbara up here dancing, we could see the angels dance with them? I'm waiting for that. I really am. I'm waiting for that. And just like that praise and worship this morning in that church, the angels were singing in that church. That was so awesome. That was awesome. Okay, now this is God speaking, all right? When I spoke of these coming days, I also spoke about the part you would play in these days of completeness. The average churchgoer does not understand the fullness of the hour. Amen. But those who have hidden themselves in me know exactly what is going on. Do you all know what exactly is going on? Come on. You better be saying, come on. And you better be saying, or I'm going to tell God to take you to the woodshed again. All right, God said, there is no longer any secrets to be kept. The battle of light and darkness is on the scene, and all that are in me have run into the shelter of my arms. There is no longer any secrets to be kept. The battle of light and darkness is on the scene, and all that are in me have run into the shelter of my arms. God told us about a year ago that this is a battle between light and darkness. And he said it's going to be heavy warfare. Did we believe that at the time it was spoken? If we didn't believe it then, we better believe it right now, this second. Now, God said the enemy has assigned his warriors to combat. This is a no-holds-barred war against my true warriors. And because of this, the angelic host has been called to the forefront, arrayed with their orders to protect my true warriors with all that heaven holds. What did God say? The enemy has assigned his warriors to combat. In other words, he sent one of his warriors to each one of us to fight us. This is a no-holds-barred war. In other words, the enemy has said, take him out, whatever you have to do, do it and take him out. This is a no-holds-barred war against my true warriors. And because of this, the angelic host has been called to the forefront. This is God's angelic host, has been called to the forefront, arrayed with their orders to protect my true warriors with all that heaven holds. So we're already assigned angels from heaven. They're already waiting to fight our battles for us. I don't know about you, but God's had me pray about these warring angels. Everybody I pray for, he tells me what how to pray and what to say to get the angels to come and do the work they're supposed to do. Everybody in the sound of my voice needs to understand that you need to start calling on the angels. And you need, no matter what the angels do, no matter what the demonic entities do to you, you need to stand your ground, because as you call on the angels to come and fight your battles for you, God sends them to do that. And sometimes it'll be just like Daniel, chapter 10 we just read. Daniel had to pray 21 days till he got his answer, but he got his answer. And it was sent the very second he prayed. But the demonic entities came and fought Gabriel and held the answers back for 21 days. So if you don't get a right now answer, don't get so excited. Just keep praying. Amen. While the war is going forth, you will be bringing in the greatest harvest of souls that the church has ever witnessed. And God's told us, even though the battle's going to be strong, the harvest will be brought in at the same time. Children, and I call you children because you are precious in my sight. I just thought this is awesome. Listen to what God's saying about us. And you have surrendered all of yourselves to me and have learned to trust me with all that you have. So if you've done that, God's smiling upon you right now. You are precious in my sight, and sometimes I weep over you because my heart is so full of love for you. He's just pouring out his love just like you wouldn't believe. Just as my son took the scourging and trudged up Golgotha Hill, you went through testing after testing, trial after trial, through the furnace often. You were misunderstood, falsely accused, blasphemed, but you still stayed the course of holiness and righteousness. And for this, you have a special place in heavenly places reserved just for you. Your names are known throughout the heavenly realm. Isn't that awesome? I can just hear the barbers on a wharf. Send an angel. I choke myself. Right? Look what they're doing down there. She's got them people worshiping. They're no longer walking in fear. They're trusting God. And they get excited and they run around up there. Our loved ones are up there cheering us on. I saw that. You know, and they get excited when we're out there doing what we're supposed to be doing instead of sitting around feeling sorry for herself. All right, God said, my son Jesus hanging on the cross was the greatest love story ever written. But your persecutions are great love stories also. The enemy learned quickly who loved me and who did not. And he went after those who truly loved me. Isn't that awesome? I've always told you, if you're being fought, then that's wonderful, because the devil knows you're one of God's. If you're not being fought, I'd be afraid of where I was going to end up at. People say, well, you must have sinned because you're going through a lot. No, I didn't sin. I'm just very special in God's eyes, and the enemy's trying to take me out. And that's how each one of you should feel in here tonight. You know, if the enemy's fighting you, that's wonderful, because that assures you that you are God's child. But if you're not being fought, then I would go check my salvation. I really would. I really would. The other day I heard you make it so hard for those people to serve God. Yeah, I just heard that in my spirit. That was the devil. He was trying to discourage me. You know, I said, no, I make it good for them. Children, there is no more condemnation in my true children. Hear that? There is no more condemnation in my true children. You have come through that valley victoriously, and the enemy has no place in you. You've come through the valley of condemnation, he said, victoriously. Just as the enemy is trying to overthrow the government, he has been trying to overthrow your walk with me, the true and loving Father. You see that? The enemy will not quit. He's going to fight you until Jesus Christ takes you on home. So are you a warrior or are you not? That's why you don't see too many people sitting in the house of God, because they couldn't stand the heat. So they got out of the heat. It's better just go out there and pretend like I'm not going to fight the devil, and just go to church, read my Bible, and then the devil will leave you alone. Yeah, he will. He will leave you alone, because you don't fear. He knows that he does not have to fear you, because you're not going to hurt his kingdom at all. Amen. Just as the enemy is trying to, sometimes you say, Father, did I do right? Are you still pleased with me? Children, you did right. And I am so overwhelmingly pleased with you, children. You are the strong towers that I have been building up for a decade now. And I am a proud father, and there is absolutely nothing the enemy has against you. And when he comes before the throne of grace to accuse you, he has nothing on his plate about you. Will you please get that down into your spirit and quit allowing the enemy to talk to you over and over and over again and make you feel like you're nothing? Come on. Let's read that again. Children, you did right, and I am so overwhelmingly pleased with you. Children, you are the strong towers that I have been building up for a decade now, and I am a proud father, and there is absolutely nothing the enemy has against you. And when he comes before the throne of grace to accuse you, he has nothing on his plate about you. Let's look at Job 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Nancy? Have you considered my servant Juan? That's what happened. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. See that? He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And you know what Job went through? He went through hell. He lost everything. But it said, God said here, there is no one on earth like him. You know, Job, he is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. You have gone before God. The devil has gone before God, and he was looking for somebody to harass. And so God mentioned your name. And he says, have you considered them? And then if you read about Job, God said, you can do anything you want to Job, you just can't kill him. And so Job went through hell, but he didn't die. And there was a couple times he wanted to die. But God knew Job. And God knew Job could endure whatever the enemy put on him. And God knows each one of you here tonight. And he knows what you can endure. And if you really can't endure a whole bunch of hardship, God is not going to mention your name to the devil. You're still his child, but if he knows that you can't go through that war, he's not going to place you in the devil's hands to kill you. You're listening. You know, I was there. I went through a Job experience, and God's after I went about halfway through mine, God said, now the whole church is going through a Job experience. And what happened was the church could not endure the Job experience. So they backed off and quit God. And God told me that the enemy's coming after you with everything he has, no holds barred. And he's going to turn you every which way but loose. Inside out, upside down. But when it's all done, you're going to be facing me, praising me. That's exactly how it happened. And when the enemy came to me and talked to me face to face and told me what he was going to do to me, and then he said, I'm going to kill you. I said, oh, no, you can't kill me, because the word said he couldn't, and God said he couldn't. You might do all this other stuff, but you can't kill me. But it was hard when I had to go through that experience. And I know that some of you have gone through your Job experience, and it was hard. But you know who your father is. You know you have the angelic beings there to help you through the battle. And God says, when you're in the valley, I'm walking through the valley with you. And you just keep right on going. That is your testimony. You guys, you have a testimony that won't quit. And when you start ministering to the world out there, you're going to say, this is where I was at, and this is what I went through, and this is where I'm at today. I'm standing in victory circle, and I'm not defeated. The devil could not kill me. Are you listening here? Come on. Children, our love story will be told throughout the chronicles of time. There will be many books written about our love affair and the great exploits each accomplished because they were vessels of love that I used to defeat the enemy of hate on all sides. He's going to use you as a vessel of love to defeat the enemy of hate. It's rampant in the world today. In families, you know, at workplace, it's all over. I've never seen such hate. But God's going to use you, love vessels, to destroy that hate. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip here. When you determine your heart you're going to walk in love, the enemy is going to say, oh, is that right? So he's going to come and he's going to test you to your limits. He's going to try to make you believe love doesn't exist. Why did I say that? Because he put me through that before I know what I know today. I used to have all t-shirts that said love, sweatshirts that said love, pictures that said love. Everything had love on it. And the enemy kept throwing negative, 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 negative. And finally, one day I burned everything that had love on it. And I said, there is no such a thing. That was before I was born again. There is no such a thing as love. And I said, I'm not going to love no more. That's when I built the wall around my heart. And then when I was born again, a week after I was born again, God said, I have to tear that wall down. The only way I want to use you, but the only way I can use you is if you don't have a wall around your heart. Your heart has to be open to be hurt. So if you're wanting to work for God, your heart has to be open to be hurt. And it will hurt. People will walk all over your heart. And you're going to think, God, I can't do this, but he knows you can. And you will make it through. Come on. And love is the only way to go. I never got into hate, but I just wasn't going to love no more. You can only come this far and no, how many of you said it? You can only come this far and no further because you're not going to touch me. You're not going to hurt my heart no more. Some of you have said that too. And that's the way I lived for about 2 years. I still went to church. I still loved the Lord, but I wasn't going to let you hurt me. I'd been hurt enough. Then when God says, I can't use you that way, I stood there a few minutes. I said, God, go ahead, tear the wall down. And I watched him. He let me see the wall. It was about 2 years ago that he said, all right, daughter. And he showed me myself again, and I had built the wall, 2 layers of brick. He said, you're building the wall again. If you're going to continue with me, you have to let me tear those 2 rows of brick down. You can make this thing. You can continue to love. Was it easy? No. No, it wasn't. But God and I worked together, and he tore the wall down right away, but he worked with me till he made my heart strong enough to endure all the hardships that I had to go through. It is possible to walk in the pure agape love of God, even though people are treating you like you're a piece of dirt. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Did he quit loving? The answer is no. He kept on loving and went to the cross. God said the great exploits each accomplished because they were vessels of love. I must have did something wrong here. Okay, let's go back to say children, our love story. Children, our love story will be told throughout the chronicles of time. There will be many books written about our love affair and the great exploits each accomplished because they were vessels of love that I used to defeat the enemy of hate on all sides. You will be known because of your what? Love. Little ones, all will know that you are of me because of this great love you bestow on even the vilest criminal. There will be no mountain you can't climb because of this great love walk that you have embedded within your vessels of honor. Everybody's going to know you by what? Not your big mouth. You're not just standing up and spitting in somebody's face and say, how dare you say that to me? They're going to know you because of your love. When Sister Naomi washed my feet tonight, that was pure love. that caused her to do that. God saw that. And I ask a special blessing over her. And I said, God, when's the last time somebody washed my feet? When's the last time anybody washed your feet? Think about this. Husband and wife. Maybe it's time you wash each other's feet again. Why do you do that? You become their servant, right? So Naomi is saying, Pastor Barbara, I'm your servant. And I love you. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he was saying, I'm your servant and I love you. And he was Jesus, the Son of God. I'm not going to wash their feet. Well, God, you have no place in God's kingdom either. True. Truth. If you're really walking with God and you're really walking in love, you wash the vilest criminals' feet. Isn't that what God said? Let's look at John 13:35. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down, he is Jesus, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. You want me to do what? Isn't that what you hear Christians say? How dare you ask me to be nice to them? Do you know what they did to me? Well, what did you do to Jesus? Even the words you just spoke, you did something to Jesus. You put a whip across his back again. And you just said, Jesus, the blood you shed meant nothing to me. Because I'm not going to love my brother. Maybe you saw it too. I read on, came across my email today, where this young man, he was a black young man. He was 13 years old at the time. And he was running with older boys, and they decided to rob someplace. Well, this old 13-year-old shot this woman in the face. And when they went to court, his bright lawyer told him to plead guilty and he would get off. Well, he pleaded guilty and got life in prison, 13 years old. They put him in their regular prison, and because he was only 13 and these other were older men, you know, seasoned bad men, they put him in solitary confinement for 15 days. After 15 days, he took him out of solitary confinement. Being 13, he was very rebellious, and he was really upset because he did the solitary confinement. And if they told him not to walk in the grass, he'd walk in the grass. And if one of the guards cursed him, he cursed them back. You know, he did everything he shouldn't have done. They put him in solitary confinement for 18 years. And he was not allowed to go out of the cell. For 18 years, he was in that four walls with no window, just a door and a bed and a sink, it looked like. They showed where he was at. And the guy who was interviewing him said, well, how did you survive 18 years in solitary confinement? He says, my mind. He said, I would think about what it would be like whenever I got out. I thought about how many businesses I could start. You know, he just did things like that, kept his mind busy. And he wrote books while he was in there. He was only 13 when he went in there now. And he wrote poetry. Do you know how he got out? The woman he shot in the face found out what was going on with him, and she went and had him taken out of prison. And now he's a free man. That was love that caused that woman to do that, because he did disfigure her face. But she didn't know what he was going through. Somebody told her about it. So she went and checked, and sure enough he was. So she got a lawyer and got him out of there. That's true love. And I prayed for the young man as he was talking, because you could tell, and you would be too, he was really hurting. And I prayed, God, don't let him become bitter and sour, so bitter and sour now that he's out, that he'll get himself back in there again. There's so many things going on. Well, then he even said in the interview that you wouldn't believe what goes on in the prisons, how they beat them, the guards beat the prisoners, and how the doctors, you know, what the doctors do to the people, and how the nurses cover everything up so that the public doesn't know what's going on. He said it's terrible in prison. especially if you're in that solitary confinement and all you hear is people being beat up and screaming and going on. I had to turn it off. I really couldn't listen to any more, but it was awful. And I said, God, we're out here free. And we can't love somebody that looks at us cross-eyed. Come on. We need to stop and think about this. And we aren't supposed to be part of the problem. We're supposed to be helping the problem go away, right? John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And now this is God speaking. So you know what it's all about. You have to walk in love, right? Because I pulled you out of the dregs of this world, you will now go forth and pull the lost out of the very pits of hell. This world is in a tailspin into the abyss, and you are being sent on a mission to pull the lost forth at any cost and show them the kingdom of love first. How did you get this mess? You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to talk about Jesus first. The kingdom of love is what will get their attention, and then from there you will show them of my ways. If you don't show them love, you're not going to get them to do anything. I'm not going to follow you if you're sitting there being ignorant to me. I'm going to want to get away from you. The kingdom of love is what will get their attention, and then from there you will show them of my ways. Just as my son Jesus rose with resurrection power, you will take resurrection power to a lost and dying world. A world without form or void, a world sucked into the abyss of darkness with no way out. Isn't that what the world is right now today? There's so much darkness out there, and really and truly, I talk to a lot of unsaved people, and they don't see any way out. And it's really hard to believe that there is somebody who really loves them. And it's really hard to get through to them because they have been in that darkness so long that it's all they know is the only way they know is darkness. And, you know, you have to work with them for a while to get them to understand there is light at the end of that tunnel. I've been born again since 77, been saved all my life. And my walk with God, God would say, daughter, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And how many of you, after a couple of months, you say, well, where is the end of the tunnel? You know? And so how do you expect somebody that's never known the light to understand the light unless you keep talking to them and dealing with them with love, showing them the light? You will go into the streets and minister to the addicts, and you will see them instantly delivered and healed of all manner of sickness and disease. Just as my son Jesus had the anointing to cleanse the leper, you will walk in that super abundant overflow of anointing that will destroy the works of darkness on all sides. Ladies, won't that be wonderful? You get some of these messed up men straightened out. Because God's dealing with the men right now, you know. And in the truth, Brett, there's a lot of messed up men out there, isn't it? Because they started at a young age. Somebody did something to them at a young age. And see, if you really and truly, if you're working with people, and if you really and truly seek God's face, you'll find out, male or female, something happened to them at a very young age to mess them up the way they are. And then we sit and we judge them, and we shouldn't be judging them. We should be loving them and praying for them. Is that an easy task? No, it's not. Sometimes it's very hard to love the unlovable. And I'm being honest, and I hope you are too. But we know because we are God's children that we have to get over that hurdle and we have to love them no matter what goes on. You know, you'd be surprised one day when you stand before God and he says, why didn't you work with that one until you got them out of that mess they were in? And he said, their blood is on your hands because you would not show them love long enough. God will let you know when to drop them. He will tell you, just let them alone. I'm finished with them. And then God puts them out there on their own again. And then God works with them. They will either receive or reject Christ at that point. But as long as you're coddling them, they don't have to receive or reject. They just go along with the flow. Where am I at, Nancy? Each 40-year dispensation of time has a special purpose, and that purpose is always fulfilled. See what he said there? This 40-year dispensation is to harvest the souls, great signs, wonders, and miracles, and preparing the way for the second coming of my Son. So this is what we're doing now. This 40-year dispensation is to harvest the souls, great signs, wonders, and miracles, and preparing the way for the second coming of my Son, Jesus. John 4:23 says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Then God says, I did that scripture because this is what God's saying. This will be a year of new praise and worship being brought to the forefront. You will worship my Son in spirit and in truth, for you will not need the warfare songs. See that? Even though the battle is ongoing, the need for warfare songs has passed, and now you will worship in spirit and in truth. And during these times of worship, I will perform many miracles. Even the dead shall be raised. All will be saying, oh, what a glorious time this is. And whenever I first started, we always did praise and worship like we did this morning. And that's when God did. He did miracles while praise and worship was going on, always. And it'd be hours we'd be singing and God would be performing miracles. We would start at 7, and by 10, God was finished with miracles, and I thought I had to give a 45-minute sermon. Remember those days? But God moved during praise and worship. Are you listening here? So we don't do warfare songs anymore. We're going to do worship songs, so that if we don't obey God, we're going to miss God. I'm not missing God. I don't. You can miss him if you want, but I'm not going to miss God. Peoples will flock into the houses of refuge because of the anointing that breaks every yoke that flows from worshiping in spirit and in truth. I am calling new worship leaders to the forefront that I have had on the backside of the desert. They will come forth for the glory, and they will worship and draw my flocks into true worship, and chains will be broken and fall off. The blind eyes will be opened and the lame will walk. You are partakers of this beautiful sight. Oh, what a glorious day this will be. There you have it, little ones, the love story that far exceeds all love stories. My Son Jesus, while still on the cross, saying, it is finished. And you, my little ones, coming through the rigors of life, saying, it is worth it all. This marriage supper of the Lamb will be far-reaching. Revelation 19, verse 7 says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Either you worship him in spirit and truth, or you don't worship him at all. Either you give him 100% of yourself, or he doesn't want any part of you at all. You might not like that, but that's the truth of the word. God told me when he first called me in the ministry, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100%, or we aren't going any further. He said, whatever I ask you to do, you must do. It's not a choice. Because I'd already been called. Now I had to follow my mentor, who was Jesus. I had to listen to the voice of God and do what God said to do, no matter what people were saying about me, and they weren't saying nice things about me. That does not negate God calling you just because people don't like you. You have to keep your eyes on the prize. You have to be determined with every fiber of your being that you are going to go all the way with God, or don't even start. Don't even start. The Word of God said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Church, do you know what's wrong with the church? Too many have put their hand to the plow. I'm talking about pastors, evangelists, whatever, bishops, whatever you want to call yourself. They put their hand to the plow, but they quit walking in holiness and righteousness and led the people astray. And the Holy Spirit just departed. How much of God do you want tonight? This was a terrific love story. God just poured his love into us tonight. Can you give him that much love back? Can you come to the altar and raise your hands and say, God, I can't love you like you love me, but I'm loving you the best way I know how. And just surrender yourself totally and completely to him. And then let him move upon you and do whatever he wants to do to you. And that's what the altar call is all about tonight. Is you telling God you can't love him like he can love you, because nobody can. But you're loving him with everything that you have.